Now today, if you have a Bible, or if you have a Bible app or a tablet, we're going to be looking at Romans 15. You can open it up there and take a look. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation today. Today's message, if you'll help me and be with me a little bit, isn't just a message for you, but quite honestly, it's a message for myself. And the reason for that is because I have some people in my life that really annoy me. Anybody here got somebody in their life that really annoyed? Just a show of hands, okay? And for those of you not raising your hands, you know who you are now, right? Right? That's and so the thing is this. I want to ask you, who annoys you? Now, don't say the name out loud because you may be sitting next to them, okay? So don't say the name out loud. But the question of who annoys you. And then here's the question, because you're going to answer this to the person beside you, so this can give you a little anonymity in this process. But the question that you're going to answer to them, and I'm going to give you about 13, 14 seconds to answer this to the person beside you, is what is it that they do that is annoying? Now, some of you, I know, will say, you know, the senior pastor at Crossroads annoys me, and when he tells me to turn to my neighbor, that annoys me even more, okay? So that's already been used, okay? So you know. But for you, think about your world, think about your life, and you know somebody that's annoying to you, and there's something that they do or a phrase that they say that is annoying to you. So turn to your neighbor, take 15 seconds, and share it, okay? We're share it with them. Here we go. Okay. One of our values at Crossroads is it's okay to not be okay. So that's one of the reasons why today we're actually talking about some of you, some of them that might have mentioned is some of the things that that annoy us are people who crack their knuckles. Recently, I was in a public restaurant and somebody was clipping their nails during their meal at a public restaurant. That is annoying, okay? That is definitely on the annoying scale. Somebody who makes gastric noises in public is annoying, correct? The way people drive is annoying, okay? The way I drive is good, but everybody else is kind of an annoying thing. There we go. And so this is why you don't invite family to church. The people who smell or make odors that make them smell is annoying to some of us. People who are arrogant, people who are know-it-alls, people who, here's a big one for me, show of hands, people who mess up your order at the drive-through line is annoying. Is that some of you? Okay, come on, you know you've been there before. And people who are rude, there's a fellow by the name of Joe Palka and a lady by the name of Flora Lichtman, and they wrote a book called Annoying, the Science Behind That Which Bugs You. And one of the case studies that they did, which is one of the greatest annoyances, and show of hands if this is you, is if you're having a conversation with someone and you're in the middle of talking to them and their cell phone rings and they just answer their cell phone and act like you don't exist. Is that annoying to anyone? Okay, well, this was one of the case studies they did in the book, and they asked the question, why is this so annoying to us? Now, you may have a lot of reasons behind this, but the science behind why this is so annoying is because they say that what happens is that as humans, we are taught to interact with another person, and as we interact with them, that is called dialogue, and the reason that you or I get annoyed is because when somebody answers the phone, it becomes what the science refers to as a half log, which means you're only getting half of the conversation. And the annoying piece is that as they're going, hi, oh, how are you? Oh, good. Oh, I'm glad. Oh, you'll never believe what happened. And you're standing there looking at them. You don't know it, but as they ask questions and as they interact with the person on the phone, your mind is automatically answering the things that you're hearing from the person who's on the phone in front of you. And when the person on the other line, who you may or may not know, doesn't answer the way you would answer, it becomes annoying in your spirit. Now, some of you go, well, that's kind of weird. But here's the thing. Paul had a lot to say about people who annoy us. And I don't know about you, but I recognize that in my life, there are folks who come along, and as they come along and I begin to have conversations with them, I recognize that they are and I are not going to be compatible. And because of it, I have a tendency, and I'm going to confess to you, to try to stay as far away from these individuals as I possibly can. I may be the only person in the room who does this. So how do we deal with this? As a matter of fact, I want to bring this idea in, is that I believe that one reason that many of us do not share Christ with others in our world is that the fact that they are annoying to us. They don't look like us. They don't act like us. They don't smell like us. They don't like the same things that we do. And so we may come to a conclusion that they are not worth our time. And so some of us have this kind of an interaction where you look at your neighbor and you say, you know what? They just don't like me and I don't like them, so I will not interact with them. Or we look at somebody down the street and we may see them and not know them, but because they're holding up a sign, we automatically place some kind of adjustment on our life and say, I don't want to get to know this person. Or those folks tend to act this way and I am a person who acts this way, and because of it, there's a disconnect that happens. And when you and I see people at a drive-thru, when you and I see people at the supermarket, when you and I see people at the mall, when you and I see people at the movie theaters, or our neighbors, or even our family members, there are those folks that oftentimes we say they annoy us, and because they annoy us, I would rather stay away from them. And Paul addresses this idea at the end of the book of Romans. In Romans chapters 1 through 11, Paul spends some time unpacking the theology behind the whole concept of what it means to understand grace and why Christ came. And then in chapters 12 through 15, Paul then begins to say, hey, and here's the practical ways that you live this out. And in Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, here's what Paul has to say about this. And so if somebody is annoying you in your world, listen very carefully today, because I'm speaking to you. And as I speak to you, I'm pointing to myself because I fall into this same category. Here's what Paul has to say. We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. What is he talking about here? You can go back to Romans 14, take a quick look. And Paul addresses a number of things. And part of that is that people sometimes have beliefs that are different than ours. They may both be following after Christ, but some may say the best day to worship is on this day. Other things that happen is that some folks say, well, you can eat these foods or not eat these foods, and here's what's proper, and here's what's not proper. And because of this, Paul is saying to the church, as he's saying, some of you guys have come to a conclusion that because they don't line up with you all the way, you just ignore those people and put them off to the side. But listen to what Paul says here. He says, we must not just please ourselves, but listen, and this is the point of where we're going today. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. Paul wanted to make this pause and say, guys, here's the thing. People are going to do things that annoy you. They're going to eat things that annoy you. They're going to do things outside of what you would consider a social norm. And because of that, you're just going to write them off. And when you write them off, you're going to come to the place where you say, you know what? Surely somebody else can reach them, but it isn't mine. I'd rather reach my own tribe. And because of this, Paul says, we should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't live to please himself. And so today what I want to do is I want to talk about this concept or this idea of what does it look like to be annoyed? What does it look like? How do I learn to help those who are annoying me? And this is just part of society. As a matter of fact, we even see this in entertainment. There's a website that lists the top 21 most annoying characters in TV shows that people have watched. For instance, one of those is, I was an old Seinfeld watcher. Some of you may have watched Jerry Seinfeld. And Jerry Seinfeld had a nemesis that was annoying to him. And his name was, anybody remember? Newman, right? And here's the reason why you don't name your kids or grandkids Newman, right? You don't even name your dog Newman. Now, some of you name your cat Newman, and that's just sick. But here's the thing. We have this understanding, and you don't even say Newman right anymore, because if you are a watcher of the show, anytime you see someone Newman, you're thinking in the back of your mind, Newman, right? I mean, we even put this into our entertainment because it is a part of our society. And oftentimes as Christians, we act like it doesn't bother us, but it really does. And one of our values is it's okay to not be okay. And today, I want to take an honest look at folks like this. For instance, some of the characters that they mention in this, some of you may have been Friends fans from back in the day. There was a girl named Janice who was Chandler's girlfriend on Friends. Some of you remember her. She was quite annoying. Some of you remember the girl named Kimmy on Full House. She was kind of the wacky next door neighbor. She was annoying if you watched that show. One word, Urkel, okay? Will Schuster of Glee, he was annoying. Screech on Saved by the Bell, he was annoying. And so the thing is that these folks, it's such an important thing that happens in our society that even entertainment would bring these kinds of characters for you and I to have some association with to say, look, everybody has somebody in their world that they cannot relate to and that's annoying to them. So how do I learn to help those who are annoying to me? This is three things to write down that Paul talks about in Romans 15. This isn't an all-inclusive list. It's just an opportunity for you to start greasing the pump, if you will, to understand it. And the first thing is this, that Paul wants us to understand. Focus on God and not that which annoys you. See, the tendency for a lot of us is when somebody is so annoying to us, whatever it is that they do, we have a tendency to focus on that which is annoying and why I don't want to be around them instead of the focus on the very fact that they are a child of God. And the truth is for every one of us to understand that God created every man, woman, and child and gave us the opportunity, gave us the reality of understanding even in our own heart that this person is in the image of God. And our value, our opportunity, our chance is to be able to point this person to God in a real way. Let me give you a story that occurred to me a few weeks ago. I was having a coffee with an individual. And as we were sitting there talking, this person had something start to protrude from their nose. And the more that we talked, the more something was protruding from their nose. And eventually, it became the size of you know, like Texas. I mean, it was massive. And here's the piece. I want you to understand this. Some of you already didn't have respect for me, and now you'll lose all respect for me. But as it continued on, and as the conversation continued on, I noticed that in my mind, I was not paying attention to what the person was saying. Instead, I was noticing this monstrosity that's coming out of their nostril. And as it continued to get bigger and go back up and come back down and get bigger, there was something in me that was so focused in that moment that to me, I could not possibly see this person in front of me and the value that God placed in them by sitting there and having a conversation with them. Now some of us fall into this category, but here's how Paul would address this in Romans 15. Listen to what he says in verses 5 and 6. He says this, "May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other as is fitting for followers of Christ." Now, the shift for us to understand, the idea for us to understand is that this kind of patience, this kind of encouragement isn't something that naturally comes. Paul understands that there are going to be people who do things that frustrate you, who do things that annoy you, that do things that aren't really along the same lines. And what Paul is saying is, here's the deal. If you want to begin to understand the fact that every person matters to God, therefore they matter to us, then for you to understand that God is the one who gives us this encouragement, God is the one who helps us to live in this regard. And even though we may be in those kinds of conversations, even though we may be in front of somebody and our lives and our minds may be distracted because they don't look like us, they don't act like us, they don't smell like us, they don't even talk like us, then for us to begin to say, okay, God, here's the deal. You place this person in front of me at this moment and this time, and I believe they're here for a reason. As we continued in the conversation, eventually I handed the person a Kleenex and I said, look, I don't know about you, but I need to wipe my nose. And they took enough of a hint because I wanted to focus in that moment on the real reason we were sitting there and not some sub-reason that I chose to disengage myself from the conversation. Listen to how Paul continues this. He says, then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's explaining that there are things in your world that annoy you. There are people in your world who do things that annoy you. And so the challenge for you in this first point, and for some of you, this may be as far as you get in the message, and I'm okay with that, is that we find out the qualities of God in each person, and together we praise him for those. As a pastor, one of my jobs, obviously, is to do funerals. And whenever someone passes away, I recognize that the funeral message that I do is for those who are sitting in the room who are living and not for the person whose casket is in front of us or whose urn is in front of us. And so for me, one of the things that I recognize in those kinds of conversations is I will sit down with the people who are closest to this individual, and oftentimes I ask this question, so tell me a little bit about Aunt Edna, or tell me a little bit about Uncle John, or Grandpa Joe, or whatever it may be. And there are those times every once in a while where the people who are sitting close to me and I ask them to tell me, there's a long pause in the moment. And I have to ask additional questions. What were the things they liked? What was it that you remember about them? And every once in a while, I get this almost negative sense. Well, you know what? Grandma didn't like people. Grandpa just didn't like being around folks, and quite honestly, I mean, I remember one time he did, and for me, the idea and why I have that conversation is I continue to press for people to discover even one tiny thing that they think positively about this individual, and I'll tell you why, because scripture tells us in the book of Psalms that every man, woman, and child is created in the image of God, and as Christians, our job is not to find that which distracts us from Christ, but to find that which attracts us to why would God place them on this earth to begin with. And maybe for you, maybe you've already said that there's a group of individuals that you dismiss because they don't understand our ways. Or you've said that there's a group of people that I don't want to be around because they act this way or that way. And many of us may say, I just let them go and do their thing, and these people go and do their thing. And yet Paul reminds us again that there is a quality of God in every man, woman, and child, and you and I get the privilege and the opportunity to find that. And when we find that, it gives us a chance to build a bridge in ways that maybe we didn't build a bridge before. There's a second component that Paul talks about here, and that is this: accept them knowing Christ accepted you. Neither of you deserve it. Accept them knowing that Christ accepted you. Neither of you deserve it. You know, whether we like it or not, I have a tendency, and I think some of us, we tend to look at individuals and say, you know what? I really am probably a little more qualified to be a Christian than this person, because I do this and this and this, and they don't do these kinds of things. And the tendency for us is that we look at a curve that God never grades on. And so we have this understanding where we say, you know what? Because they live here, they made choices in their life to live there. It's not my case. It's the fact that they made wrong choices. And so it becomes a piece to us. And we forget the fact that Christ loved us unconditionally. Here's what Paul would say in Romans 15. He says, therefore, accept each other as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. Remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews to show them that God is true to the promises he made to their ancestors. He also came so that the Gentiles might give glory to God for his mercies to them. Understand what Paul is trying to say here. If you're not a Jew, the reality that you're sitting here today and the reality of the fact that you are have a relationship with Christ, and you said yes to him and he said yes to you, is part of the mercies that God has placed upon you. Because in the Old Testament, the idea was, if you're Jewish, you get the mercies of God. If you're non-Jewish, you don't get the mercies of God. And the reality for people who understood that and saw that, Paul is saying, if you are not Jewish, you now get to be a part of it and accept the fact that you've made mistakes, that you've fallen short. And while it may not be in the same way that somebody else did, the truth is it helps you to understand that God loves them as much as he loves you. And that kind of love and compassion is an incredible event for us to understand. You look at the Old Testament, and to the Jewish individuals, God's promises are in the hundreds. You read just through the book of Psalms, and you'll find a lot of promises. But one of the things that I recognize for some of us is there are reasons why we refuse to engage in conversation with people who may struggle. And some of those biggest reasons, I've listed them here, because I think for some of us in the room, we just say, you know what? They're dealing with this stuff, and quite honestly, I don't want to be around them. One of those groups of people is the addicted. Some of you have family members, and you've disassociated with them because they have an addiction. And quite honestly, it's torn your family apart. And you're saying, you know what? I don't necessarily want to be around them because of the addiction that they have. Some of you struggle with this. And you're saying, you know what? Maybe when they walk away from alcohol or drugs, maybe when they quit looking at pornography online, maybe if they just quit doing those things, then we can have a relationship. And for you, as a Christian, you've said, you know what? I don't want to associate with these individuals. Why? Because that's not me. That's not my family. I don't even want to be around it. And God says this as a promise in Psalm 50, 15. He says, then call on me when you're in trouble and I will rescue you and you will give me glory. Maybe he's calling some of you today to love the addicted because you've avoided them because you don't want to be around them. Another group of people is the depressed. Maybe for you, there's somebody in your world that's depressed and you don't like talking to them on the phone. You don't like hanging out with them. Maybe they're a neighbor. And the reason is because when you leave, you're half depressed. I mean, they come in and life's always glass half empty. Everything seems horrible. Nothing's going in the right direction. And so you avoid them at all costs. Why? Because you're like, you know what? I don't want them bringing me down. Maybe God's promise to the depressed is that the Lord is a shelter for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. Maybe he's encouraging you to have this opportunity to look at the depressed and say, hey, this is a group of people that need my love. This is a group of people that need my encouragement. Another group that many of us understand is broken families. This is one that for a lot of us, we struggle with when a family is torn apart, when divorce begins to happen or separation occurs, or because of somebody's addiction, you watch a family being torn apart. And for many of us, we don't have the patience or the understanding to be able to say, you know what? I want to talk to you. I want to encourage you in whatever way that I can. And so what do? We just avoid them. We continue to walk away from them and their lives fall apart. And as they fall apart, we just disassociate ourselves from that moment. And here's what God has to say in Isaiah. The Lord says, the captives of warriors will be released. The plunder of tyrants will be retrieved. For I will fight those who fight you and I will save your children. Ladies and gentlemen, there are people in your world right now that you are avoiding because their family's fallen apart and you don't want to get messy in this moment. Other areas that I think some of us avoid is those who are beat down. Those who just think life has always thrown me a curveball and I'm one living curveball. Maybe the promise of God in Exodus 14, the Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm is one that you need to relate to people because you say, you know what? I can't help them in any other way. Another one that comes in is those who are afraid. You may have a conversation with somebody and all they talk about is the fear. And the problem is they refuse to make a difference in their life. They refuse to make a change in their life. And the reason behind it is fear. They're saying, if I make this move, then here's all of the other wrong things that would happen in my world. God had a lot to talk about fear. And in Psalm 27, he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? Ladies and gentlemen, if you know somebody who's being driven by fear and you are avoiding them, and you may not use the term annoying, but you're just avoiding them because you think, man, I really don't want to spend time with them. Paul encourages you to do this. Another group of individuals would be the poor. Jesus would make this statement: seek the kingdom of God above all else, live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Some of us walk away when we see someone who's poor and has needs because we say to ourselves, I don't want to have to deal with that. You know, as a church, many times we're asked the question, why in the world, when most churches in the center of our city, in the north end of our city, why are most churches trying to sell their church buildings and move out of the downtown area and not stay there? We feel compelled to be a part of it. You know why we feel this way? Because we believe if Jesus were on this earth, that is where he would live. In the middle of our town. And for some of us, this is tough, because when you drive to town, you avoid parts of cities and communities because you don't want to be around people like this. And you may not use the phrase annoying, but they don't look like you, act like you, or smell like you. And because of this, you try to avoid them at all costs. The final one here that I have on the list are those who say that their sin is greater than God's grace. I have friends of mine who fall into this category. In their sins, you could compare your sin and their sin and say, gosh, that's all they did. But for them, they feel disqualified to the kingdom of God. And part of the reason for that is because they say, look, I've done this. I've separated myself from God. And the conversation, the amount of time that it takes to invest in those individuals is too much for you or me. And we say, look, I just don't want to handle it. And the psalmist says this: God, you're good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who are willing to ask for your help. Here's my challenge to you. I put these verses there for you in your program. I gave you the list of these things because I think for some of us in the room, we purposely avoid other folks, and we may not call them annoying, but we avoid them because they don't look, act, or smell like us, and their problems are these kinds of things. And this, my friends, is the very reason as a church we feel compelled to go to the places in our community that maybe other churches aren't willing to go to make a difference. For the sake of understanding every man, woman, and child matter to God, and therefore they matter to us. Understand that. And then the third and final thing is my prayer for you today. Paul would conclude by saying this: pray to be filled with joy and peace, and let the Holy Spirit flow through you. You see, the idea is when you're around somebody who's annoying you, you don't feel very joyous around them, do you? You don't say to them, hey, let's go have a party. You say, wow, I've got an appointment, and you make something up, right? You know, like, I got to get my nails done. You get nails done. Well, you know, today's the first day, right? And so we struggle through these things. And listen to what Paul has to say as he concludes this conversation here in Romans 15. He says this: I pray that God, the source of hope, understand this. If you are a follower of Christ, then you have him in you. And this source of hope lives in every one of you. So if you're a person that's saying, I've always been this way, I've always acted this way, this is who I am, know this: if God's in you, then this hope lives in you, and that you can love people who you never thought you would love before. This past week, 2 weeks ago, excuse me, we were served together, and we cancel our weekend services, and we're downtown, and I meet a guy who's at a tent, and he is claiming he's lost his money, and he doesn't see anything in his world, literally stares to the ground and just walks around looking for his money. Mentally, there was some instability among this fellow. I later found out that a certain type of drug has completely fried his mind. But here's the thing. God compelled me in that moment to spend 5 minutes with this guy looking for money that he'd never lost. And in the course of about a 50-foot area, we walked up and down the same spot looking for money as I'm trying to engage in a conversation not because I think we can find his money, but because of the very fact that God reminds me this man matters to him. And therefore, he should matter to me. And this may be tough for some of us. And this is why today I woke up and prayed this, because I go back through, and when I read the scripture, and I find out what he says here in Romans 15, at the end of this passage, it reminds me that Christ, or that God, is the source of hope and will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's my challenge for some of you, is that maybe this becomes your prayer. God, fill me with enough joy and peace that I can be put in uncomfortable situations, that I will drive maybe a different commute than I normally drive on my way to work, that I might step into the yard of that neighbor that I struggle stepping into because I know that they are going to be a negative Nelly over and over again. God, help me to walk to the neighborhood that's behind me. God, help me to call that aunt that I don't like hanging out with. God, help me to give my spouse one more chance so that you would help me, because God, I can only do this through hope, and I can only find this kind of joy and this kind of peace, even with the people who annoy me the most, only because Jesus Christ, of who you are and what you've done in my life. This, my friends, is a challenge for you and a challenge for me. And so my prayer for us in the coming weeks is that we would find ourselves in uncomfortable situations, and that we would recognize the things that Paul shared with us in Romans 15 and work through some of those annoyances to help those people who are around.